Babes call me third trimester because I'm about to spit. All right, people. All right. Okay, if you want us back, we are back. You have called us, so we have come. But anyway, if you're listening to me, then you're listening to the Sincerely Your Crowd podcast. And my name is Joseph Inti. Welcome to the people's favorite podcast in the whole Ghana. Yes, don't worry. I didn't jump the curve. I didn't say it ahead of time. I just, you know, put a little spin on it. But anyway, welcome to this podcast. I want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante Ofori. And of course, to give out a shout out to the number one podcast hosting network. What? In the whole Ghana. Yes, GCR Network. Of course. Hey, let's say we're back. You know, our last episode, I was in Nairobi, Kenya. I got to sit down with Tonio Kibbs from the Sandwich Podcast. Now, mind you, the Sandwich Podcast, they were one of the podcasts that we were part of the African podcast that got the grants from Spotify. Remember, right? Yeah. So we just kind of like reached out and we did that. And I learned so much about Nairobi from Tonio before I actually, because that was the first day I arrived. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode and run it up. our YouTube says otherwise. It's like, if we manage to get a popular face on there, it's like we will give you guys can force. Because the thing is that we have like a little over 3,000 subscribers. So Kwame always tells me that, oh, if we're getting like 3,000, 4,000 views, it's not a big deal because we have like 3,000 subscribers, so it's fine. But I'm just like, why are the... I'm sorry. anyway, it's a new episode, so we got to get a crack. We got to push on ahead and move straight into this episode. Put my money on.
I'm feeling high, don't you feel it too? I no go lie, girl, you make me feel good. Bonnie, you move your hips, girl, waist. Your flow be like an oasis. You count my nerves all the way. Oh, tell me small money daily, yeah. But that girl with the bottom of my sleeve, she know I got you, so she tryna move sneaky. But I flee with some speed. Oh, Marie, Bonnie, oh, Joe, move that waist, turn up the bass. You fit to make man, I go insane. I will not go, femi no go, shingo. Move that waist, turn up the bass. You fit to make man, I go insane. I will not go, femi no go, shingo.
Oh, my Mariana,
this be Mariana. Yo, you blow my mind. Set my soul on fire. Oh, my Mariana, this be Mariana. Yo, you blow my mind. Set my soul on fire.
All right, so you know, we always start off our episode by going into a little bit of pop culture. What's trending? What's been in the entertainment news? What is showbiz giving? Dana Ekoso. Well, the Pope is dead. Yes, the Pope is dead. You know what's so funny? A friend was telling me about how... he visited his dad, and then like they were asking his dad all these questions, and his dad was like, there are more important things in life. The Pope just got out of the hospital. And if you remember, you know, the Pope was battling pneumonia for like weeks, you know what I mean? And he finally came out I think he met J.D. Vance on Easter, and then now he's dead. And you know the funny thing is that I saw a lot of people saying that the Pope died a long time ago. Like, when he had pneumonia, he had died. And all famous people have body doubles. And apparently the person that met J.D. Vance was a body double. It's not the real Pope, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh my goodness. Conspiracy theorists are very interesting. Like, I feel that if you just pay attention to it, you could easily be carried away. Because I read the comment, and then I just started looking at other comments like it, and then like anybody that would see the comment. Because usually the thing about me is that if I am on Twitter and somebody shares an opinion, I really have to do a quick brush through your profile. Yeah. I just want to get an idea of who you are, so I'll know whether I'm taking you seriously or not, you know? And so I just went down this rabbit hole of looking at the pages of the people that were saying this, and then it was just, I'll just get missing. But anyway, guys, listen, I remember, when we were much younger, I don't remember which Pope it was. I don't know whether it was Pope John Paul or Benedict. I don't know. But if you guys remember, millennials, when we were younger, Pope died, and we got to like witness that whole process of them voting and everything, white smoke, black smoke. You guys remember? And it was playing on TV all the time. And it took forever for them to vote. You know what I mean? I've also read Dan Brown's Angels and Demons. So, you know, I know a little bit of lore. L-A-W-O, lore. L-O-R-E-I. But anyway, yeah, I know a little bit of like how the whole voting process is. And also, Conclave is out. I don't know if you guys have seen one of the movies that was like up for Oscars or whatever. Conclave is out. And Conclave is literally about the story of a Pope dying and a new person being selected. And I'm just like, okay. I saw a tweet. Somebody said, okay, fine. I'm sick of this Conclave marketing. I'll see the movie. And I'm like, no, because I remember when, Conclave was up for an Oscar, they were saying that, oh, the Pope, being sick and everything, so they're going to win the Oscar. Well, I mean, Raphael Fiennes got the, is it Fiennes or Fiennes? I know. He got the Screen Actors Guild Award, but he didn't get the Oscar. But anyway, yeah, there's been talk about, is he a Pope? No, he's not a Pope, right? He's a what? Father, Reverend Father Appiah Texan, being one of the shortlisted people. I mean, I don't know what would have been done by the time this episode comes out, but as of now, yeah, that's it. People are saying, oh, he's one of the shortlisted people. And there's a lot of people that think that a black pope is never going to get elected. Most of it bordering on the fact that Europeans are racist. That's what people are saying. If you ask me, I remember that when I went to Germany for the first time, I was subjected to racism. So, Europeans, it's up to you. I mean, some experience, no, I'm one of them. And so, what are you going to do about it? But anyway, you know, all the best to all those who are involved. Shout out to you. I went to a Catholic school, primary school. And I remember, the Apostles' Creed, Month of Mary, reciting 50 Hail Mary. I remember all of that. So, you know, I kind of like understand what is going on in a little bit. So, shout out to you Catholics. Thank you. All right. I just want to quickly talk about my newfound love for Excellence by Kojo Black. Like, I, you know, it's one of those songs where I've been hearing the song. It's popular. It's been everywhere. And I didn't know who did it. I didn't know the name of the song. But one time I was somewhere and then I actually listened to the song. Cause I just hear, oh, you know, excellent. I just keep hearing that, you know, but I've never like really paid attention. So I just like, I put my ears down and I was like, oh, excellent. So I figured it was excellent. And then I just searched for excellent and it popped up. Yeah, I'm just obsessed. I also watched the music video and I must say, I don't know if they used AI or what, but the animation was actually very well done. I like the concept of the video, Kojo Black. Well, kudos to you. You know, you got my attention. I want to give a quick shout out to Muffy and Cozy Pose, both of them who are part of the larger collective 99 Phases, have put out some stuff. Muffy has a song out called Mariana and I am obsessed. The song is great. Listen, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're into. Okay, I'm not talking about kink. I'm talking about genres. But just look for Mariana by Muffy and listen to it. If you don't like it, tweet at me. Like, just listen to, I want you guys to listen to it and then like tweet at me. Give me your opinion. forget about Mafi. It's not about him. It's about me. I really need you to do this for me because I don't know. I just love the song. I think it's a timeless song. It's great. And listen to it. Cozy Post also put out his debut project. It's called With Love, okay? A little body of work. Go and listen to Cozy Post songs, okay? One of the songs that Cozy Post has that I really like is Minko Mehima, Adore You. Told you I'm going to catch you later. Anyway, that's it for that. But let's move on. Let's move on. Okay, so look. I must say that I am no longer really interested in weddings as like a trending thing that people do. It's so crazy. Over the last few years, we've been inundated with all of these like major weddings that have happened. You know, you can go as far back as Kensey. I can't even remember the names, but I just feel like the word is not disenfranchised. That's afunumi. Be like, I don't know. You know what I mean? And it's like, I think that weddings have become such a production. It is the same thing. You know, you're seeing the bride and her friends in her hotel room. They are wearing the robe. The friends are wearing one color. The bride is wearing white. Then they always have something to say. Then they'll shoot their man. Like, it's so routine. It's so method. So personally, when it comes to me, I have kind of like disassociated. I think the disassociation happened with Meghan Markle's wedding. I was very disappointed by her dress. I felt like Meghan, for all of the hell that the people were giving you, you should have showed up with some cleavage and something that shows your figure. I don't care. See how you played all the goody two shoes thinking you're going to get accepted? Look at that. Egg on your face. Egg on your, like, I really felt like she should have come out there in something very see-through, something very tight, and something very revealing of her bosom. That's it. That's it. That's what I wanted, you know? But I think, you know, I was really invested in that royal wedding. I watched the whole thing. I was watching people's fashions and everything. And I just felt like Meghan's dress let me down. And I haven't seen it for weddings ever since. You know what I mean? But anyway, PJ 2025 happened. Okay, let me be very honest. I don't know these people. I think that me knowing these people, it's against my will. It was everywhere. Me be Instagram, me be Twitter, like it was everywhere. PJ 2025. I didn't know who Priscilla was. I didn't know who, what's his name is? Juma Jax. I didn't know him. I don't know them. But it was everywhere. And so, you know, someone's got to give y'all the news. I know some people are as clueless as me. They're like, what is this PJ, JP, whatever Twitter? I'm here to give it to you. Okay. So if you know Nigerian actress Iyaba Ojo, yes, she's on the Real Housewives of Lagos. Her daughter, who is Priscilla, is marrying or has married Juma Jux or Jux. Girl, I should have looked up how this name is pronounced. He's a Tanzanian singer and songwriter, and apparently he's friends with Diamond Platinums. If you watch Rich, Famous, and African, you know who Diamond is. You don't even have to watch that show to know who Diamond is, although that was my story. Let me not lie. I knew of the name Diamond Platinums. I didn't know what he looked like until I watched the show. And then I started discovering his music and I was like, oh my God, he's such a big deal. But anyway, they got married, okay? And it was this elaborate affair. Davido's daughter was like in the wedding. I think she was a flower girl. Mubad of a Blessed Memories child was a ring bearer. Like, it was like a very, you know, it's like an all-star movie. Everybody was in there somehow. You know what I mean? Somebody did a video of how many outfits that Priscilla wore throughout this whole process, from save the date to pre-wedding photo shoots to everything. She had 16 outfits made, girl. 16 outfits. And I'm not saying they're not cute. They were really cute. In fact, she's a very pretty woman. Very pretty. In fact, she rocked everything very, very well. I'm just like, yo, the wedding was big. Like, don't play. The things that we're trending about it, let's just get into it, okay? I just want to give you, let me give you guys a quick backstory, okay? Quick backstory. So this Juma Jux guy, he's 35 and Priscilla's 24. And Juma Jux used to date Vanessa MD. If you know Vanessa MD, Vanessa MD is also like an artist. I don't know if she's from Tanzania. I forgot to look that up. Oh, shit. Bad research on my part. But Juma Jux and Vanessa MD were together. They were together and they used to like, they were giving very Jay-Z and B. You know what I mean? They were like big. And then they broke up. And then Vanessa got together with Rotimi. You guys know Rotimi. I just want to ease my mean. No, that's the Stone Boy and Mr. Drew version. Oh my God. But no. Rotimi from Power. You guys remember that guy from Power, right? Anyway, there's a meeting in my bed. That's Rotimi. So Rotimi is now with Vanessa MD. They are married. I think they have like two kids. Okay. Okay. Push them to the side. Juma Jux met Priscilla, and now he and Priscilla are married. I think I was reading somewhere that they were saying that it was less than, they knew each other for less than a year. Let me tell you something. When you're 30, being in my 30s, I just want to say you're a bit more certain about things. You don't waffle too much when it comes to decisions that you want to make. You know what I mean? And being that he's 35, I can, he knows what he wants. The only thing that, like, I guess you can say, at 24, do you know what you want? You know what I mean? But hey, it is what it is. I'm not even going to get into the fact that, oh, you know, back then our parents used to marry at 21, 22. I mean, they didn't know better. But it is what it is. They're married. The wedding was huge. One of the things that people were talking about, Vicky James, referencing God throughout the making of the dress video. You know, let me tell you, you know what it is. I think that we have done such a crazy job of making people feel like any kind of praise that they have for anything, be it skills or whatever, has to have some elements of God in there, else they are cocky. And so you cannot have Vicky James come here and she's telling you about the beading work. She's telling you about the details, the stitching and everything. And she's putting God in every single thing, which I mean, for some people, that's what they believe. Like the way they live their lives, the way they acknowledge the things that happen to them, it's God, and it could be God. And you know what I mean? But you know, I just feel like for a process video, we could have done with a little bit more of, you know, what went into it. Like, tell us what, like, you know what I mean? I feel like she would say something astounding about, like, maybe all the beads were this, and then, but it was God. All the stitches, we did that, but it was God. I'm like, girl, I thank God for seeing me and my team through, for coming and making this dress gorgeous. Now let's get into the details. That's all. God don't need you to mention him 3, 4, 5 times in every, like, this video is a process video. This video is a marketing video. You're supposed to get people, shit, that could have been it. By excessively saying God, she started this conversation that I'm now having, and now you're going to go and look for the video. But anyway, Vicky, look, stunning dress. A lot of people were saying it was simple and blah, blah, blah. It's a stunning dress. The thing about simple dresses is that you can fuck up a simple dress, but you did not. And everybody knows a Vicky James bride is always going to show up and show out. Vicky, she does great work, okay? I just felt like, you know, when I was watching the video, I just felt like, ah, God upo, the God upo. Like, I beg now. Like, I wanted to learn more about the making of the dress, but it was too much of, and our God, and our God. I was like, okay, girl, we get it. But anyway, shout out to y'all. So that's it. JP 2025. It's Juma Jax and Priscilla, Iyabo Joe's daughter. They married. Other things people were talking about was the fact that Annie was a cheese bridesmaid, and why is Annie crying and da 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 da. Girl, they friends. He an emotional person. He in touch with his feelings. Y'all got a deal. Let me just say, stop projecting your feelings and whatever onto people. Everybody's different. Everybody's the same. Where's it be this one? Anyway, shout out to the married couple. Let's move on. Grammys. Listen, Rex Omar. I'm trying to remember Rex Omar's song. Oh my God, guys, this is not shade. This is just me having a brain fart. But Rex Omar, I was like on the internet trying to read like serious news stories. And I saw this on one of the channels, I think Joy FM or something. Rex Omar said Grammys are not for Ghanaians and Ghanaians need to focus on the TGMAs. You know what? You know what, Rex? I get it. I get it. I don't know. I think Rex Omar has gotten some posts recently, whether he's part of like this new, what's it called? Is it the ambassadors for a friend's name, Black Star, or that's QOD. I don't know. He's got some new posts, so probably that's why somebody's asking him about this. But girl, let's be quite honest. The Grammys is for American music. The truth of the matter is that anybody who's trying to be a serious artist wants to be recognized by Americans, because if you enter the American market, you are a hit. Okay? The UK market exists, the Indian market exists, but you are not a global star if you are not like recognizing the American market. It's simple. And I feel like you should know this. Like, why are you making, like, you see, sometimes I feel like when you listen to people have some of these talking points and opinions, it's like they always want to try and act like they don't know what's up. Girl, you know what's up. You know what's up. Like, do you think that Ghanaian artists are over here saying that they want to go to Grammys because they do not know that this is an American award scheme? You think they don't know? When BET was picking people to do BET Cypher every year, they would pick somebody and people were always hyped up about whether Sarkodie was picked. You think they don't know? They know, but it's the recognition. It's the recognition and the opportunity to enter a market that is large. I don't even know why I'm having to do this for XOMR. And let's also come down to the fact that it has TGMAs, VGMAs, whatever GMAs it has been. It's just, it's lacking in so many ways that they can only want more. You know what I mean? They can only want more. These artists use social media just like us. They see, they are on internet just like us. They see what it looks like to have a stellar production through and through for an award show. So, hey, don't knock them down because maybe they want to be recognized by the Grammys. You never know. They want to be big enough to go and perform on a stage where the sound is good, the budget is good, the production is good. You know what I mean? There are people that feel very held back by what Ghana can offer. We've seen Amare try to perform at the last Ghana Music Awards, and her needs and requirements just couldn't have been met, and people were trying to drag her for it. And it is what it is. It is what it is. If I'm an artist and I have a certain standard in my sound production, my visual production, and the venue and the people that I'm going to, they cannot meet it, I'm not going to jeopardize my discography and come on here and then the microphone's not going to work and then y'all have something nasty to say. Like I saw, was it Variety? There was this account that had something to say about Remy's Coachella performance. I can't remember the name of the account, but they were like very nasty about it, talking about his microphone. He was slipped. Sinking and da 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 da. That is exactly what artists don't want. So I just say this to say, Rexomar, you know better. Don't be talking like, well, my Grammys, I don't know, forgot. What the hell, girl? Once upon a time, I'm very sure you recognize Grammys as something you could attain to. Just because you stop making music doesn't mean that the people that are making music in today, in this era where it's even like the opportunity or the possibility of you going global is even more because of all of these apps. You can't tell them not to focus on the Grammys. Please. Let's move on. Okay, look, this one is something that I was very, very interested in. Okay, so how many of you know the actress Bimbo Adeyemi? She was in, I think, Sugar Rush. She's been in a lot of stuff. Oh my God. Oh, there's this YouTube film called Selena. You guys know, right? She's this really nice light-skinned girl. Sometimes she can like give you really like local Nigerian acting. You know what I mean? But anyway, so she has a movie out. I don't know whether it was Hallelujah Praise or something like that. She has a movie out and she did a video because she found out that Ghanaian TV stations were showing the movie here for free. And she wasn't happy for that. She was not. Making movies requires a lot of money and investment. And if you are showing your movie in a cinema, especially all the way in Lagos or whatever, and you want people to pay and watch so you can recoup the money back, I don't think you'd be happy if people were showing it somewhere for free. You're not going to be happy. So she made a video and she complained about this. And she was saying that the TV stations that were doing this should like stop showing the movie. And you know what? It's true. I don't know if they show like recent movies, but given that now there's this like surge of like YouTube movies, I can see them doing that because all it takes is to download a movie, say from YouTube. It's not hard. You know what I mean? And TV channels, they will not pay money to create their own productions. I know this because I used to have a show called Off the Top that was on YouTube and I tried to get it on TV stations and it was a lot of interesting conversations. You know what I mean? People don't want to pay for their own productions. If you're a television station, you need to make money and have, one of my earliest jobs in show business was working in the production department at Vast at One. And there was a whole department that I worked in called Own Productions. Basically, it was what we had to do, or in my department, were to come up with show ideas for Vast at One. And if you guys remember Vast at One was genius. He had so many shows. We had a morning show with Patrice and Kokui Amegashi. We had the one show with Jocelyn Dumas. We had Amake Abebrese had a show. A Day in the Life of a Celebrity with Amake Abebrese. There was even a show, 5 Rings, you remember? All of those things were own productions. The TV station put money into creating their own productions so that when they don't have news and things to do, they can show those things on TV. Yes, I remember Oscar Provençal, the guy that plays Inspector Bediako. A lot of you guys are going to be lost, Inspector Bediako. But this was a popular show back in the 90s. It was about like a detective. We know how CSI Miami and things like the Ghanaian version. And they paid him a lot of money to do all of the voiceovers for the adverts that they show in between the TV shows and stuff. So Viasat One, you are watching Viasat One. You know what I mean? And I don't see, like, a lot of these new televisions, they just come on and they just want to show whatever. So Bimbo did a video and she was like, hey guys, you're showing my video. She was a little bit upset because, hey, you know, your investments, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, listen, and I mean this with no disrespect. This Ghanaian, I want to say popular, or should I say a public persona or whatever, she's Miss Debbie. I personally don't, I've seen her around. Like, I've seen her in things, I think talking on one thing or another. I think what I know her most for is like a body positivity ambassador. She, like, you know, she's a big girl. So, you know, I've seen that, but I'm not quite sure whether she's an actor. I don't know what she does, but she did a video that Bimbo posted on her page. And so I watched it. And Miss Debbie was upset talking about, what is she talking about? Ghanaians are giving them free promo. And then at a part, she was actually like saying that, you don't blame them. You blame the Ghanaian TV shows that give them free promo. Because if the Ghanaians were showing and supporting Ghana stuff, Nigerians don't have this audacity to come and say this. Like, I was very confused on whose side she was on. I was very confused on what the messaging here was. Because it, like the messaging was coming across as supports Ghana stuff, right? But then she was bashing Bimbo for making a video to complain about the fact that her film was being shown for free. I was very confused by the video. And it was like, part one, watch out for part two. So I went to her page, Miss Debbie, and I watched part two. And this time she was calling out Omoni Oboli. She even ended up saying, Tinubu. Like, it was a lot. But the thing that got me about all of this, because she was talking about promote Ghana and put Ghana on the map, and she did like a great chunk of her narration or her rants using Nigerian broken English. And I just want to say, girl, the Nigerians would not make a video addressing Ghanaians and sound like us. No, they will not. They will sound like themselves. And you seem to think it's cool enough that you are taking their lingo. And yet you, here you are. Here you are. Cornrows, undergrowth, askew, shouting into your phone using Nigerian broken English about TV stations in Ghana not supporting Ghanaian films. That's why the film industry is dead. I was just like, girl, you just lost the plot. Even if you had anything to say, the fact that you were going off and mimicking a Nigerian, I'm just like, what, like, I didn't get her argument from the very beginning. I think that, you know, be it Bimbo or Omoni, they have a right to be upset. You know what I mean? Like, jeez, I spent so much money on this film. I'm showing it in cinemas. I'm taking money, and then you're watching it for free because the television channel they don't even show it once. So I'm sure it's on the whole day. I mean, okay, you know what I mean. So I don't know. Like, maybe, you know, the thing about social media now is that everybody wants to use rage baiting to do something. You know what I mean? So sometimes you never know. You know, just to get yourself a little bit in there, and a great way to do that is, you know, enter the Niger markets. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was a part of the US. She was even calling Juliet Ibrahim. And why did Juliet Ibrahim go to Nigeria? Isn't it because the Ghanaian industry is dead? I was like, girl, find the point and make it. Find the point and make it, because I was confused. But I just feel like, Miss Debbie, I don't know. I just don't understand your POV. And I just feel like she's upset. Her film is being shown on the television for free, and she has a right to talk about it. She has a right to ask people to take it off. It's not her fault that Ghanaian television stations are not supporting the film industry. It's not her fault that the film industry is dead. You cannot put that on her, because that's what it sounds like, misplaced anger. But anyway, let us move on to my girl, Tyler. You people be really having Tyler fucked up. So Tyler did Coachella week one and week two, okay? So week two, she got into this really nice bikini number with like denim shorts and green fringe material, you know? And somebody I posted a clip or a picture of Britney Spears wearing, you know, when Britney Spears did that award show performance with a yellow python, that outfit that she was wearing, yes, I forget which award show it was, but she had the yellow python around her neck. She wore like a green bikini sort of thing. And somebody posted a picture and said, oh my God, she, like, the person was alluding to the fact that Tyler was inspired by Britney, but she didn't like credit her or something like that. And Tyler said, I love her, but I just thought the outfit was fly. No inspo. So basically she was trying to say, what I wore for Coachella wasn't inspired by Britney. I just thought my team put it together and I thought it was fly. And then This person replied and said, I personally think she's a copycat and too full of herself. And Tyler responded by saying, personally, I think you should shut the fuck up. And you know what? She found out. I think the internet, there's like culture, right? And there's like behaviors that people just like learn on there. I think that somewhere last year, when that whole award show thing happened and Tyler was like, she couldn't carry her award. And it seemingly looked like she was asking Haley to carry the award. There was just this like little fun club of haters that just started. I don't know if it was Armon Wiggins that coined the term apathy or whatever, but they were like apathy, whatever, whatever. And like, it's kind of become cool to hate on Tyler. That's what it looked like. And I see it reemerging every single time she does something. Like, they always try to like pinpoint a behavior of hers to something else and that she's rude and she's this. Look at this. She's a copycat and too full of herself. You know, I don't understand y'all. Because you would take this full of yourself attitude from Rihanna. Yeah. I just feel like we might be dealing with people that are younger than Gen Zs. They don't know what's up. Because when Rihanna was young, prime, and walking through the streets of social media, bitch, good luck booking that stage you talk off, she told Ciara. Like, Rihanna was out here being savage. And you people ate it up. You were happy. Nobody said, oh, she's too full of herself. Mariah was out here being a proper diva. Like, I feel like, I feel like the only reason why Tyler gets this flack is because she's from Africa. A lot of y'all thought that she was gonna come to America and be so enamored by the fact that, oh my God, my song is number one, everybody's singing Water, and they give me a Grammy. Oh my God, I'm so happy. And all of you were expecting it to come and be like this humble girl, whatever, but you people are taken aback by her badness. When I don't see before. Shut up, Miss Debbie. It's like, you people like really thought that Tyler was going to come and be meek. You are crazy. What are you talking about? See, me, I like how she does it too. I like it. She doesn't hold back. She doesn't try to be this like prim, proper. She is a baddie, a proper baddie. She speaks her mind and she's going to keep it going. I don't know whether it's a Black American community. I don't know what the problem is. The girl says the outfits are inspired by her. Still, I must say no. She's full of herself. If she's not full of herself, who should she be full of? You? What have you achieved? Oh yeah, we're going to take it there. Because that's the thing about taking opinions from people. Before you take anybody's opinion, you better wonder what they have ever tried to do. Yes, now. Maybe you, where you try one project, two projects, you failed one, two times, and you're on your third one, and somebody that hasn't even stood up to try anything before will tell you that, hey, this is what they are doing. I beg. Be mindful of where you get your advice from. But anyway, that was Tyler. Funny, before I started recording this, I saw Lo J and, I think Joe Boy were about to get into it on Twitter. I was just like, what the hell is going on here? Anyway, but let's just move on. So you know, it was my birthday, 17th April, right at the beginning of the Easter weekend. Girl, when I tell you, you guys know, I don't go out as much as I used to. And you know, I was like, it's a long weekend. So let me just, you know, let me be out every single day. I was fighting for my life on Monday. I didn't go anywhere on Monday. I slept in front of my television. I didn't even brush my teeth. I was there the whole day, just out of it. But yeah, I had a great time. I was out Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Well, I was out of town Sunday night. Sunday night, I was out again. And I just want to say, I've made a few observations. The sound is changing. And there exists Ghanaian attempts to catch up. And I'm pleased. I feel like, you know, heard a lot of different interesting things in the different interesting places that I went to. Not once did a DJ play All I Do Is Win. So I think that is a win. Like back then, like, it was just a hustle. I'm like, do not play All I Do Is Win. And then they would play. But yeah, it was really great. I see the girls are dancing to Drake again. Yes. The girls are dancing to Drake again. Nokia came on and bitch, I even moved. Yes, I moved. On Sunday, I went out clubbing, but on Saturday, I was out on the beach in Cocorobite and I was singing Adele at 3 a.m. And I lost my voice. And it's so funny that it's back because I spent the whole of Monday mute just because I knew I had to record today. But I went to the club on Sunday and I had a sore throat and I was like, this is the worst thing ever. Because you know how like when you're talking in the club, you have to talk into people's ears, you have to shout because the music is loud. Bitch, this is me talking into people's ears. I'm shouting and there's no voice. And so they're still like, what? And I was just over it. I was like, oh my God, I just want to go home. Nobody can hear me. It was crazy. But yeah, it was a good night. I had fun. I'm so grateful for every single one of my friends that showed up and everyone that saw me over this long weekend and said happy birthday. I cherish it. I am really grateful. You know, I've spent a lot of years, some of them contemplating on my birthday, being sad and feeling like, oh my God, these are the things that I wanted to do. I haven't done this and da, da, da. And a couple of years back, I just got into this thing where I was like, I'm going to celebrate every single birthday that I have moving forward, either in a grand way or in a small way, whatever it, I'm going to do something because the this life is not promised. You know what I mean? And for the first time, I just really let loose and did all of these things. Usually I just like do something low key or whatever. But I mean, it's still low key. It wasn't on social media. But I had fun. And I just wanted to say, it is so interesting, clubbing culture. It's like, there are days when you're going to want to go home, but your friend's like, oh no, let's wait. And then you're going to wait. In that waiting time, you're there, but you're not really there. Like, you're literally like, I remember there was a time when I was at a club on Sunday. I was literally standing there and I was like, okay, the way I'm feeling, when I go home, am I going to sleep in my bed or am I going to sleep in my sofa? Because the vibes are different. Like, if I'm getting in my bed, I have to derobe. If I'm going to sleep in my sofa, I'm wearing the clothes that I came home wearing. You know what I mean? I was just standing there thinking. But yeah, there are days when like your friends like wait for them, and then days when you're like, no, wait for me, because I'm having a good time. I know you want to go home, but I'm having a good time. Three more songs. Oh my goodness, you know what I mean? But anyway, yeah. Davido's album 5 is out. I haven't listened to it. I've only seen the video that he has with Victoria Monet. I love the video. I love the choreo that was done by Sean Bankhead. Hopefully I will listen and give you guys a better breakdown on the next episode of the podcast. But yeah, that brings us to the end of our what's popping, but like hot topics, trends and whatnot. You know what I mean? We'll be right back.
Whatever, just call him Teddy. Been calling him out, door you out. Told you I'ma hit you up, met trouble, love letter. It's en route, probably get there, quarter past two. Hit me back, yo, you know I miss you. Yeah, you know, been calling him out, door you out. Told you I'ma hit you up, met trouble, love letter. It's en route, probably get there, quarter past two. Hit me back, yo, you know I miss you. Yeah, you know I miss you. Pretty liquid waist, I'ma find any day. I see my jolly Jew, what you want today? Won't you come on through? You know I got that groove. Kick it with the guy, make me bust some moves. It's insane how we match, light it up real fast. Messing with our heads, this probably won't last. But you seen them come and go, it's toxic, yeah, I know. I love it all so much, you're the poison that I chose. Hey, men come in him, I adore you, but I told you I'ma hit you up, met your lovely tie. It's en route, probably get there, call the fast suit. Hit me back, yo, you know I miss you. Yeah, you know, men come in him, I adore you, but I told you I'ma hit you up, met your lovely tie. It's en route, probably get there, quarter past two. Hit me back, yo, you know I miss you. Yeah, you know, you're my sweet, see my jewel.
All right. So, you know, at the top of the episode, I told you guys that we were in Nairobi last year. We went to Nairobi last year because we were invited to the Sexual Utopia Festival, okay? Now, look, I had a great time at this festival. I'll tell you about it. Okay. So, Sexual Utopia is an annual festival. Okay. That was born from two live events. Okay. The Spread Live, which is something that happens in Nairobi. And then, Adventures Live in Accra, which was hosted by, Nana Dakwa and the Adventures From Group. I remember the very first one they did. They got me to host the ballroom, and I remember doing it. Yeah, give me one, and slay, and hold the pose for me, slay. Runway, runway, bring it to the runway, bring it to the runway. Yes, and you know, she reached out last year. She was saying the festival was going to happen in Nairobi, and she wanted Sincerely Accra to be there. So you know, we went, and the festival features like really engaging conversations, okay, through powerful workshops, panels, and performances that are focused on the vision of sexual liberation. Okay, now one of the things that you need to understand is that in this African continent, a lot of people like
do not openly talk about sex. And like, it's kind of like something that is frowned upon. We're always like shunning people who talk about it. We brand people who talk about it, like the sports and everything. But the truth of the matter is that sex is something that people have. And much like everything else, conversations about it need to be had, because then you can enjoy it. You can do it better. You know what I mean? You can learn about it, because God knows what you're teaching us in the school is neither here nor there, and your parents ain't doing shit either, so you know what I mean. But like, just talking about sexualities and in all forms of the word, a lot of you people hear sexualities and you're always thinking queer, lesbian, what. Sexuality is like an all-encompassing word that like means so many different things, and I learned so much when I went to this festival. I was in a lot of like panel discussions, you know, meeting different kinds of people. They had sex workers, they had porn stars, but it was just, you know, a very open space where you meet all sorts of people and just have engaging conversations or be part of like witness panel discussions. They had pole dancers there and things like that. I went to this like really, it was like this closed door thing for men, where men just talk about some of their challenges. And it was very interesting, guys. Like, I remember when we went into the room, we're all like a bunch of different men, and then they would ask prompts, and then you would stand according to how you feel about the prompt. So there's like, agree, disagree, and then like in the middle. And I remember one of the first questions they asked was like, I base my self-worth on the size of my dick. It was crazy. Listen, the niggas were standing in different parts, and then after you stand where you're standing, they literally act like you argue it out. It was so crazy. Like, no, but it was really great and liberating as well, because it's like, I was in a room with these men, and you know, a lot of men don't have these conversations. They don't. That's the truth of the matter. Everybody's always bravado and like, you know, and it was just, it was interesting, and I had a great time. We had a quick chat with Nana Dakwa, where she talks to us about the Sexual Utopia Festival. This was recorded on site. Listen, it was a cool, nice plot of land. It looked like a farmhouse or something like that. But anyway, we recorded this interview with her, and we just want you to listen and check the Instagram page, Our Sexual Utopia, for, you know, this year's event, because it's annual and it only gets better. Okay, stick and stay. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Well, look, we're all the way here in Nairobi, Kenya, and we're here at Utopia Festival, and I'm here with Nana Dakwa Sishiyama, who's going to be telling us all about this festival. Guys, welcome.
So first of all, it's not just Utopia Festival.
Oh, okay.
It's Sexual
Utopia. Okay.
And it's a festival about sex, sexualities, and pleasure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we actually held the first festival in Ghana, but we called it Adventures Life. Right?
Okay.
And when we came to Kenya in 2022, we had a theme of sexual utopia, and we realized it really captured what we're trying to do, to co-create a world where people can explore their sexualities, can, you know, identify as who they are, where people can be free to love who they want to love.
And right.
It's a world that we continue to build mm-hmm. with everybody. So that's why we call it sexual utopia.
Okay. So how did it find its way into Nairobi? Because I know, like you said, you held the first one in Ghana. So how did you find this way to Nairobi?
Yes. So I'm a Pan-Africanist, right?
Okay.
And so for me, anything I do is not just for my country, but it's for the whole of the continent and the diaspora. So my intention in conceptualizing this festival was that the festival would move around different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan was to do 3 years in each country. So we did 3 years in Ghana. This is our third and final year here in Kenya.
Okay.
And next year we bounce to a Francophone country.
Okay. So what is, say someone wants to participate in the festival next year, how do you go about it?
It's a great question. So we have an Instagram page called Our Sexual Utopia.
Okay.
It's best to just DM us via that page, or just reach out and follow the page, obviously, because anytime we're about to start advertising the festival, that's the first place you see it.
Oh, okay. All right. That's really cool. So, okay, I know you have to go soon, so I'm going to ask you this last question. You know, the message of this festival, you've already said what it is, but what do you want them to understand about sex and sexualities?
I want you to understand that pleasure is political. You all have a right to joy, to owning your own body, to choosing who to share your body with. And if you own your body, if you own your sexual identity, you have power. If you have power within yourself, you can have power with other people. And together we can all create a better world.
Exactly. And that is right here from Nairobi, Kenya, at the Sexual Utopia Festival 2024 with Nana Dakwa Sishiyama, who is the founder, right?
Of Sexual Utopia.
Yes.
So the Sexual Utopia in Kenya, I co-organize with Paz. But the festival is organized by Massimedia which is also the, I guess, the platform behind Adventures from the Bedrooms of African Women, mm-hmm. which I co-founded with Malaika Grant.
Okay, and that's it, guys. Where can they find you on Instagram?
Well, you can find me at D4Dakwa. Or by my book handle, which is Sex Lives of African Women.
Women. Yes, I know you guys know that book. All right, thank you so much for speaking with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
We Stay Real is more than just a slogan. It is a promise. At Fika Tea House, we use fresh ingredients from farm to straw boba, real fruit to house-made syrups, loose leaf tea, and real milk. No preservatives, no nasties. Just pure natural deliciousness in every sip. Besties, we are more than just amazing bubble tea. The Fika Tea House is a place to connect with friends, enjoy your finger-licking snacks, and a serene green space. So immerse yourself in the ultimate bubble tea experience. Open your favorite apps, ride-sharing, or menu finder delivery app, and enter Fika Tea House, F-I-K-A, Tea House, you can spell it, to get directions, order a ride, or have your new favorite bubble tea and snacks delivered straight to you. Fika Tea House. We stay real. All right, guys, we're back and it's time for us to get into our listener letters. Now, listen, on this episode, we're giving you not one, but two listener letters. Two listener letters, okay? So let's get into it. Okay. Listener letter number one. This is coming from, Karibu. Yes, because Nairobi, baby. Karibu. Okay, Karibu says, "Hi, sincerely Okra. I want your honest opinion on long-distance friendships. For me, if you're not here with me, it's hard, ooh. Like, phone calls and texts don't make a friendship. I love experiences and being around people. Whenever a good friend travels, I just know it's going to change. But I do enough to keep it going so that when they come every now and then, I can enjoy them. But lately, I'm getting tired." Like, I can go months without having a proper conversation with my friends, and even when they call, I don't pick all the time because I hate having to give updates that require a backstory. I don't know if it's just me, but whenever a close girl, that is a updates that require backstory, and it's like every time you're telling the story, they're like asking you to go back over the detail, and like, oh my god, it just kills the vibe. But anyway, like, I can go months without having a proper conversation with my friends, and even when they call, I don't pick all the time because I hate having to give updates that require a backstory. I don't know if it's just me, but whenever a close friend relocates, I mourn the friendship and put it in a keeping up appearances category. Okay, Mrs. Bucket. Also, fuck Ghana, because why does it have to suck so much that everyone is leaving? You know, there was a time, I think I did a tweet like this, where I was talking about the fact that nobody really talks about the fact that a big part of living in a third world country is losing friends to brain drain. Yeah. Steadily, since I finished university, almost every year, a minimum of one person that was like close to me and my close friend group relocates for greener pastures. You know what I mean? And they soon find out that, you know, to keep the grass green, you need to stand outside and hold the host. But then they can't even come back because, you know, salaries, you know, standard of living. It's really sad. You know what I mean? Because sometimes, you know, when we're back in school and we're envisioning our lives, our adult lives, we envision them with these friends, you know, and we're going to do this together. We're going to do that together. And then one day you are done with national service and they're like, I'm leaving, guys. You know what I mean? And there's some people they told you from the jump. but, you know, I kind of relate to Karibu a little bit. I feel like a lot of the friends that I made in uni and all those, it's like we were bound together by experiences. And, you know, for us millennials, we also come from this era where, like, we weren't really techie. I remember when WhatsApp came, I think I was like 16, 17, 15. I don't know. You know, I was still in high school. Facebook, I was still in high school. So we had like bare experiences where there were no tech involved. We made friends with people in the neighborhoods. We played with them. People that we see at church. If your parents go and visit their friends and you have kids, you have to play with them by force. We made friends that way and we stayed in touch that way. And I think for me, now when I look at all of these new forms of social media and things like that, sometimes story posts
and snap posts can really give you this false idea of the fact that friendship goes on. Like if you post in your story and then I come in and I leave a emoji or I LOL, oh my God, you know, I feel like I'm keeping in touch. And I can be doing that and feel okay without realizing that, oh my God, I really need to have conversations, check in and like talk and hey, what's up? You know what I mean? And it's just like, I'm used to doing all of that face to face. I'm used to doing all of that whilst like we're eating some ice cream, we're sitting somewhere, we're fooling around, we're at a party, we're in the club, you know, after the club in the parking lot. And then now all of that is like virtual where you have to carve out time. And God, I was talking about this the last time. You close from work and you just blink and it's 10 p.m. and you have to go to bed. So sometimes it's just like, where is the time? You wake up in the morning. Some people wake up 5-6, you know, you get into this crazy routine, getting ready, crazy commutes to work. You are at work the whole day. You can't really do much. You come back home. Now you have to like eat or watch something. Like before you realize time is gone. Like if you are going, and then you see, there's also time zone differences and also things that they are also doing. And sometimes it just like gets in the way. There have been several times where friends have left and I'm like, we make a conscious effort. We do group chats. We do FaceTimes, whatever. But always past the first year, it just doesn't bang. It doesn't bang the same. And then it goes into 2-3 months, you know, and we're just being held together by story updates. And you know what I mean? It's really, really tough. But I get it. I think for this one, I think you just need to find some time. Okay. It might be difficult for you and call these friends or people that you know, you feel like whatever and have these conversations, you know, let them know how you feel and how you struggle with whatever, you know, and just talk it out. You never know what kind of compromise can come out of it. And you never know. Cause my thing is, I also don't want your friends to sit somewhere and think that you're just a bad person. You've given up on the friendship. You know, you struggle. I remember there was, one of my really, really, really good friends, you know, we used to like, blah. We used to like do stuff together and everything. And he moved away. And, you know, there were times when he would be calling to want to talk and I'm not in the mood, or he will be like, text up and I'm not in the mood. You know, you can be going through something like, this is not the time for this, but this is somebody that you rarely see anymore. So when they call you, you also want to pick. And I remember having a conversation. I was like, you know, I'm really not up for this conversation. And he was like, there's nothing wrong with telling me that, oh, this is not a good time. Call me at another time. Cause I felt like every time they call, I have to pick, no matter what it is, because they don't live here anymore. Like that's the mindset that I used to have for myself. And just having that conversation with him, he was like, yeah, people have moments. They're even me where I'm living in New York, whatever. I have days when I just don't want to talk to anybody. I have days. So I get it. The fact that I'm not here doesn't mean that when you see my call, you have to pick, you know? So I feel, especially with friends that you care about, you know, instead of just suddenly mourning, have that real ass conversation and tell them that, look, this is what it gives when people go. This is what it might be giving. I care. I love you, whatever, but it's just, this part is hard. How can we manage it? You know, and you guys can come to terms on how you can manage it. You can do once a month check-ins where you guys schedule a call for once a month on a day that's convenient for both of you. And you just check in, because the truth of the matter is that most of these people, they're going to come back home and they're going to need the support. You know what I mean? Or you never know. It could be you going there. You know what I mean? So I just think, just don't totally give up. I always believe in trying, especially for the people that matter and for the things that you care about. So, hey, Karibu, you know, I know sometimes we don't like uncomfortable conversations. We're not socialized to have uncomfortable conversations. Is there a reason why your parents can't tell you about sex? Is there a reason why your parents can't tell you about shaving and things like that? Is there a reason? We are not socialized to have uncomfortable conversations. And we carry that with us. But you need to break those chains, my dear. Try not, like, that's the thing. A lot of the time when people write letters, it's always like, how do I say this? How do I do that? Try and push yourself to have these uncomfortable conversations. We are growing, though. Anyway, that's it. If you have anything to say to Karibu, you know what to do. Hashtag CeciliaCry on Twitter. You can tweet your thoughts, DM your thoughts, whatever it is. Or you could also send your listener letter in. And listen, I could be answering your letter, giving you advice that you will not take. Because let's face it. All right, guys, let's move on to letter number 2. Nah, nah, nah. Yeah.
I'm a bedofu ame, make up a crab a few wada, yeah dream yo. I'm moving funny, sick I'm a joke. I'm sick, I'm a joke.
Although you won't be true, I think.
See, I'm a shabby.
And under me, under me. I'm booby, under me, under me. I'm booby, oh.
Okay, this one is going to be called Asante Sana, okay? These are things that I learned when I went to... No, let's call this one Shiriri. Let's call this one Shiriri. When I went to Nairobi, yeah. Okay, so Shiriri says, "Hello, Joseph. I'm a 27-year-old. My last relationship, which lasted 2 years, ended 4 months ago. Before then, I had been in 3 other serious relationships that ended because I didn't want to compromise on what I wanted." Okay. "I've been through a relationship where I was made to feel I was too much. Another where I thought I wasn't enough." Hey, how they? They're more than a beautiful Anna. It's really giving scripts, y'all. I had been in 3 other relationships, serious relationships that ended because I didn't want to compromise on what I wanted. I've been through a relationship where I was made to feel I was too much. Another where I felt I wasn't enough. And another where I wasn't being myself because I didn't want to lose my man. But in the end, I just had to choose me." All right, girl. Power to you. "I don't want to blame them in. Okay, "I don't want to blame the men I've been with for all the failures because I can acknowledge my part. But here is my question. In the last 4 months, I've been working on being happy alone because I saw a TikTok video." The great encyclopedia that is TikTok. "I saw a TikTok video that made me realize I was putting my happiness in the hands of the men I dated. However, even though I'm trying to be happy being alone, I get many waves of sadness. Sometimes I worry that I won't find anyone." All right. "However, even though I'm trying to be happy being alone, I get many waves of sadness. Sometimes I worry that I won't find anyone, and other times I worry that I'll find someone too late and not be able to have kids." Girl, oh my God. "I'm so stressed by my singleness. It's even hard to listen to love songs." Oh my God, somebody should put that on a shirt. "I'm so stressed by my singleness. It's hard to listen to love songs. All around me, people are marrying, friends are in relationships, and while I'm happy for them, I worry that this may never be my story. What advice can you give me to get over this?" Oh my God. Oh. Babes, call me third trimester because I'm about to spit. Okay, look, all around you, people are getting married. That is true. But people are cheating. All around you, people are getting in relationships. But that is true. But people are cheating. But anyway, look, those are jokes. Like, don't even like look at that, because like, it's not like I don't want to negate people's like positive moments and happy moments with like the possibility of all of that. But you know, I don't even know where to start from this, because you see, I can give you sound advice, but I've lived this long enough to know that it's just advice and it doesn't mean anything to an overthinking brain. Okay. I am an overthinker just like you. I overthink everything before I do it, after I do it, while I'm doing it. It's crazy. Like, one of the worst things ever is for me to like go through a confrontation or whatever that I had planned and it not go how I wanted. And now I'm in my bed. I'm just thinking over every single thing and how I should have said this and should have, you know what I mean? And I know what this feels like. I definitely do. But you know what I saw a TikTok video too. Okay. So TikTok to TikTok. Okay. Shiriri. What I saw a TikTok basically they were saying, I think it was Lil Nas X, actually. Don't let what should be, right? The what should be, like, oh, I wish I had this. I wish that I had that. Don't let what should be rob you of the happiness of what is. I don't know if I'm making sense. You know what I mean? Like, you are worried about finding love and you are worried that you might not find love and da, 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 da. And what it is here is that you're thinking about what should be, which is you should have a man and it should be perfect and you should be walking down the aisle and you should have your children. You know, you are thinking about what should be so much that you're letting what is slip away, not even slip away, but you're failing to enjoy what is. What is? You ask me? I don't know you, but girl, you better be employed, because I don't think an unemployed person is sitting there thinking about this. You know what I mean? You're trying to be, unless you're looking for a relationship to get into, you know, some cash. But like, you seem employed. You should be grateful. People are not employed in this economy. You have good health. You should be grateful. Do you have good friends that are, like, keep you company, surround you, and make you feel good about yourself? Then you should celebrate that. You know what I mean? The what is now can teach you so much about yourself. And as you're going down this journey of, like, being happy for who you are, which I know is hard. It's hard. Because I say, oh, you know, you have to love yourself. So that's when you are alone, you know, you know how to love yourself. So that when somebody comes, they will know how to love you, right? Because they know that you are enough for you. You know, all of these catchphrases and day to me ass shit that people say. You know what I mean? But it's hard. It is hard. You can be the baddest bitch on planet, meanest, muddest, you know, but at the end of the day, in this rainy season too, you're going to be in that bed with your pillows and it's not going to be enough. You know what I mean? There are days like that. But what I will say is, you have to think about this, okay? I always say that the presence of anything that exists is the precedence of what is. Okay, I just made that up, but that is just something that explains what I feel. I feel like if you see single people in their 80s or people that never got married in their 80s, 60s, whatever, it means that life is not, I don't want to say fair, but life is not like a cookie cutter. It's not the same for everybody. Okay? Not everybody's gonna find love. Not everybody's gonna fall in love. Not everybody's gonna get married. Not everybody's gonna get married and stay married. You know what I mean? Things happen. Some people are gonna be cautionary tales. Some people are gonna be examples. You never know which one is gonna be you. So you don't wanna put too much on anything. Because I can tell you, yeah, don't worry about what should be and let what is pass you by or whatever. But I think for me, what I should be telling you, Sherere, is, don't put too much real estate into finding love. What should I say? What I mean is, like, don't let your happiness be hell-bent on you finding love. Because what are you going to do if you don't find a girl? I'm not trying to be, like, pessimistic, but I'm like, maybe you should readjust how you see life. Because the truth of the matter is, some people will find love, some people won't. And if you go through life understanding that there could be a possibility that you don't find love, maybe you will not be too hard on yourself. Because it's like Disney princess thing, you know? And they lived happily ever after. So you're looking for happily ever after. And you don't want to believe that there's a possibility that you won't get. And so you are constantly worried by the fact that what you believe is not happening. I just want to say, move your happiness into something else. Yes, it's true. It's fine for you to want love and care for love and need love and crave love. You know, I completely understand that feeling. I'm the same way too. It's fine. Like, that's what you see for yourself and you want for yourself. And people say manifest. Yes. But is that all that's going to take to make you happy? Try and see what other things can make you happy. What other skills you can build? What other new adventures you can, you know, undertake? You try and it's like putting all your eggs in one basket. You're putting all your happy eggs in the romantic relationship basket. And that's the funny thing. This romantic relationship is not a walk in the park. Hey, we ask your friends. They should get that they are seen. Small managing. Because there's the thing. Anybody you will find, there will always be a comma. The comma, the difference is this a comma that you can deal with or not? It's like walking in the park. So spread your happy eggs. Don't put everything in one basket. Put happiness in career. Put happiness in friendship. Put happiness in just watching your favorite film. You know, let other things fulfill that happiness. Like put that burden of happiness into something else. Because for something that depends or relies on another human being, you are giving it too much real estate too. Another human being, I mean, like people change as they go along. What if this person that you find 10 years from now, you don't like who the person has become? You know what I mean? So, I mean, some of these things, I feel like it has to happen to you for you to understand, but move the happiness around and don't center it too much on finding love. You know what I mean? And I think that will help you to go through this. Personally, I think you should try and get through to the end of the year without getting yourself involved in anything. It will help you understand yourself better. Okay? Like, whenever you're upset about something, think about it. What am I upset about? Why? At which point did this thing piss me off? Think about it. And you can even look at how you were in past relationships and see the growth. Just do a lot of self-reflection. Spend time with yourself. Okay? Because sometimes all of these talking stages and things, that's the problem that I have with some of these things. It's like, people don't come as who they are. They always want to put their best foot forward. But baby, I don't care about that best foot. That best foot, you can use it when we're married and we're going to places where we need to appear good. But show me your raw foot. You know what I mean? Get up on the big foot.
Anyway, Sharere, that's it for me. If you guys have any word of advice for Sharere, you know what to do, hashtag Cecilia Cry. And that will be it for the listener letters. Ah, I love the set. I want to say, if you or anybody you know has a dilemma, encourage them to send us a DM on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok. And listen, I could be reading your letter here and give you advice that you will not take. But anyway, that is it for our listener letter. We'll be back to do the shout outs.
Stopped in the back, foes they stand my way. No be safe out here. Yeah, yeah. Now we dey feelin' well, well. See how I'm hiring. I saw the move, I dey pray, make it soft. I'm from my city with the girls, we not conform. I see light, and the end of the tunnel. I see life, we am not yet to fumble. I will try, will try, yeah, yeah. I'm free rides, I should pull up, we shut down with green light. And I'm so glad that you are on my side. I could find that dormant tonight, you know, go for Jack to me, nah, nah. Think about the things you said, yeah. Watch a lot of moves you make. There's a fine line between confidence, yeah. Confidence and arrogance, yeah. Think about the things you said, yeah. Watch a lot of moves you make. There's a fine line between confidence, yeah. Confidence and arrogance.
All right, so on this episode, we're going to be shouting out Mixed by Raw. Mixed by Raw. I think somebody tweeted about like them being tired about R&B parties. They want an old school party where people come and do like old school Ghanaian hip life and things like that. And Mixed by Raw came to tag us, Cecilia Cry. Yes, of course. Yes, of course. RD party that happens every December. If you know, you know. But shout out to you, Mixed by Raw. Thank you for that. I also want to give a shout out to Ange Markey Mensah. Ange at Ange Markey Mensah on X. She said, happy birthday, Joseph Inti. Thank you for keeping me company on my commutes to and from work. Have an amazing new age. I love it. Thank you so much. This is a very thoughtful message. I saw it and I said, I have to give you a shout out. And I'm always impressed that people have us in their ears to and from work. It's so, you know what I mean? That is part of your routine. I'm literally, my voice is part of somebody's routine. Me sitting here talking all of this shit is part of somebody's routine. Like some people, I have podcasts that I listen to. I have podcasts that I depend on and I wait on. When they even delay, I'm upset. And it's part of my, there are certain things that I cannot do if I don't have those podcasts. There are certain podcasts that I listen to when I'm driving to work. There are podcasts that I listen to when I'm driving to a friend's place, depending on the day. There are podcasts I listen to when I'm cooking. And when these podcasts haven't been out, that thing that I'm doing, etosing. Sometimes I have to go and listen to old podcast episodes because I need that voice and that POV whilst I'm doing certain specific things. And it's just dawning on me that that's who we are for some of you. And so, I mean, I'm amazed and I'm in awe and I'm forever grateful that we are able to do this thing 8 years counting. All right. So shout out to you guys, Mixed by Roy and Ange Markey Mensah. Listen, all too soon, we've come to the end of another exciting episode. Yes, I know. My name is Joseph Inti. If you're new here, hey. I know you're gonna stay. Come back or check out all of the episodes that we've been putting out since 2017, y'all. And if you are old here, you know what to do. Keep checking for us because you know it's always a good time on Sincerely Your Cry. I want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Santiofori, and give a shout out to the Gold Coast Report, the number one podcast hosting network in the whole Ghana. Yes. I'm gonna love you, leave you, and catch you on the next one. Bye.
I dream of some, I quit talking, the vibe be dead, pray I no go force. For the game, I pursue with caution. Life a day, just to make you no rush. Kanye, with no distortion. Another day, I did try to keep a promise. Far away from all the nonsense. Holiday, come make me pop something.
I got $1 million dream, no wasting more time. We gon' make it out, get out, get out.
Get out, get out, get out, 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 out. Harry is the head on the crown wins conscious. From the belly of the beast, I had no option. I knew this from the answer, so I'm barely talking round these blood-spitting monsters. But we don't even stop this. Flip the coin and take the chance. Head along, tail back. I've never been the man's been the plan. Way better executor with the whole clan. Lost boys like me, Neverland.
Got a $1 million dream, no wasting more time. We gon' make it out, get out, get out, outside. Too many more dreams, we working overtime. We gon' make it out, get out, get out,
I'm dreaming some, I quit talking. The vibe be dead, pray I no go forcing. For the game, I proceed with caution. Life is danger, just making no rush. Kanye, we know distortion. Another day, I try to keep my promise. Far away from all the nonsense. Holiday, come make me pop songs.
I got $1 million dream, no wasting more time. We gon' make it out, get out, get out, outside. Too many more dreams, we working overtime. We gon' make it out, get out, get out,
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.